You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes, Brett Johnson, and Doug Padgett. We got a full house today.
We got the actual crew, the announcers, right.
It's the Trinity.
A full house of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Oh, Doug. We didn't lose him, did we?
Did we lose Doug like 3 seconds into... Oh, now he's back.
Okay. I'm right here. Yeah. We'll see. I'm hearing you guys the whole time.
Well, we had a Democrat debate last night and another one today. So we are going to focus a lot of the show on the Democratic presidential primary debate. We'll get your feelings on it. You'll get our analysis of it, as well as some input from someone who was unaware, had never met any of these candidates before, and hear their perspective on what they thought and how the candidates performed. Because I think that will be very interesting, because we all have our perception colored with what we know about each of the candidates and how we feel about them going into it. So someone who's a blank slate, it really gives you just a clear way of seeing how they performed at the debate last night. So that will be later in the show. But Brett, Doug, first of all, do we have Doug on the line still?
I sure think so. I can hear you guys crystal clear.
So, Doug, where are you right now?
You know what? I feel really close to the debate tonight because I'm literally in the building where the debate's going to be happening tonight in Miami. And I'm going to be in the room tonight. So I'll back tomorrow on what the vibe and the feel is inside the room with all the DNC.
Wow. So, Doug's down in Miami. It sounds like he's got kind of a Alex Jones line going on. They don't want him on the air today.
It sounds kind of like one of those trucker walkie-talkies where you got to be pressing the button to talk.
Yeah. So, Doug, what are you like traveling right now on a tour or anything, or did you just go down specifically for Miami? Oh.
Down here. I'm at the debate tonight to try to connect with candidates because we'd like to support a bunch of them.
Very interesting. Well, Brett, why don't you try and call Doug back?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, we'll let you monologue there for a second. Mm-hmm.
So last night, we had 10 candidates in the debate, and it ended up working out that I had been advocating that the party should organize these debates with a adults table and a kids table. And that was not how they went about organizing the debate, but by happenstance, it ended up being that way. Because last night, Elizabeth Warren would be the candidate who was polling the highest out of these 10 candidates. And really, her support has come recently. It's skyrocketed over the past few weeks, and she's become one of the top 5 candidates in this race. But until recently, she had been kind of in that middle of the road with the rest of them. So last night had, by chance, a lot of the candidates who are kind of at the bottom of the polls right now and who are trying to get some attention, trying to stay in this thing and have a break into relevancy. So thinking about it, I actually was happy about how it was organized. And by doing it that way, we were able to hear from a lot of voices who we usually wouldn't. I mean, as close as I follow these things, there hasn't been much exposure for me for someone like Julian Castro or Tim Ryan or John Delaney. So it was nice to get a feel for who these people are. And for the most part, I was impressed generally by all of the candidates that were there. It was hard to find too many faults in really anyone. The thing that would get a little discouraging is when they would talk very generally about things and not provide any substance or specifics for what they would plan to do as president. And I guess the other main little tick I had watching last night was when they were talking about healthcare and the word access, that they would provide access to healthcare for everyone. Universal access.
That's what the Republican healthcare bill was originally. Mm-hmm. We don't want universal healthcare. We want universal access to healthcare, which does nobody any good.
Yes, and it's one of those things that it doesn't sound necessarily bad. Like, who doesn't want universal access to healthcare? But it falls so short in when you play this out and put it into practice, because really, just having it there isn't any good if you can't afford it.
Well, we all have universal access to Lamborghinis.
Yes, so exactly.
We're not prevented from that. We have universal access. Can we afford is another question.
Ah, and it sounds like we have Doug back on the line. So, Doug, what were your thoughts last night? What did you take away from it? Was there anyone that stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, Hunter, I don't want to seem petty, but what I was thinking about last night was, where am I going to be sitting tomorrow night?
Oh, sure.
Because I'm here in Miami right now, and I'm at this debate for tonight, and I'm literally walking right outside the spin room. Like, I'm reading a sign that says spin room and filing center will be open from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. And I look in there, and all the people from television and newspapers and stuff are in that big room already. What? So anyway, it's kind of fun. There's it's sort of a fair-like atmosphere. Which is one of the things I noticed watching the debate last night. It's so television produced, right? Like everybody standing behind their little podiums. I don't know if you noticed, but some of the not as tall people stood on little plexiglass risers.
Oh, really?
Behind there to kind of try to make everybody the same height. And, you know, every question was the same, directed the same candidates. So what I noticed last night was you really got this sense of sameness, right? There was no real chance to see or hear the candidates tell you who they are. And it's my belief, it's my opinion, that people are as interested in who the candidate is as the ins and outs of the particular details. So I just feel like those debates and that kind of setting, you really have to work hard to try to get a sense for the person, you know, because even the questions that they're asked, hey, there's Brett Beard right there. Even the questions that you ask, that they ask, aren't necessarily the ones they wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like playing a bad game of poker and they have to play with the hand they were dealt.
Mm-hmm. The
but,
funny
you know, a lot
thing.
Of these candidates wouldn't have wanted to talk about that, but then their 6 minutes that they have to be in front of a national audience is on a question chosen by, you know, Chuck Todd.
Mm-hmm. Well, my favorite moment last night of getting down to that personal level and uncovering something about these candidates was when Tulsi Gabbard started talking about her upbringing and having a concern.
It was a great response from her to say, look, I'm sure we've all changed our mind on stuff that we said, you know, 18 years ago. The thing that got me about Tulsi Gabbard, she was like an android or something, right? Like she was just... She was just locked in, like she's got the 1,000-yard stare going, you know. And be careful because she's in combat, but man, she's got that. She didn't have that sort of affable sort of persona about her. Hey, and the other thing that I noticed about the candidates was apparently Julian Castro, who I just saw right behind me over here. So I walked away while I said this. Apparently, he wants to run for Senate against Beto, because he was totally going after Beto on an insider argument about, if it should be a civil or legal citation for crossing the border, which is a big question in Texas. Both those guys, in my opinion, they're running for Senate in Texas.
Well,
because they don't have to declare until December 9th. So that's what they're doing, in my opinion. Oh.
I hope to God you're right with that, because that is what is so frustrating for me, is that you have two of these Democrats that are rising stars and have a ton of potential in a state like Texas, which at one time seemed so out of reach, and now all of a sudden is potentially in play with the right person to squander that by having those two run in a presidential primary with 25 other people is it's frustrating. Right. So I really do hope that you're right, both seeking to get into that race or run for governor in Texas too, because both of those are options.
Whatever they're doing. But I think, look, 20 people or more are registered as sort of 1% and up candidates. Mm-hmm. They all know that only one person is going to get the nomination, right? So the question then becomes, why are the other people running? And that's an interesting question to ask. And I think there's a lot of reasons to run for president. You want to influence the debates. You want to create your national voice. But I think other people, it's just interesting to sort of play in my own mind what the other reasons are that people are running. You know, de Blasio looks like he's trying to run to be the chairman of the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. right? Because what he talked about all the time is who we should be as Democrats, mm-hmm. right? He wasn't only talking about himself as a president. That Delaney on the far end is like running to be like a talk show host that wants to interrupt people and just keep talking the whole time. I thought he was going to call in on our show and try to take over the Minnesota Progressive Repartee or something. Like, he's just a serious interrupter. I felt like Castro's running for Senate. I don't know what Klobuchar is running for. Maybe she's trying to run for, you know, attorney general or something, right? Mm-hmm. So it's curious to me to hear these candidates, and it clouds the field. And this is one of the things that I think everybody in this country should run for president, because we'd say anybody's better than Donald Trump. But I think it clouds the field on trying to really have a conversation specifically about the presidential election when you have people that are answering questions, chewing up social media space and time. And they really have, you know, it's like when you interview for a job, you're very often not only interviewing for the job that you were called in to interview for, you're thinking about other jobs in the company, right? At least a smart person would do that, right? You're always interviewing for a job that's up a step or two from wherever you are. So even if you don't get this one, you're trying to get yourself in the hiring flow. And that's what I feel like a number of these candidates are doing. And tonight will feel a little more substantive. I felt like Elizabeth Warren, who I thought she did a great job, came across a little feisty for some people's taste. I know I was reading about that today, but I thought she did a great job. But she seemed like the only one that was really being a legitimate, like, I really do singularly want to run for the office of the presidency of the United States. I feel like everybody else is in it for another reason.
Eric had a good observation or good hypothetical is with Amy Klobuchar and kind of her reputation that's been sprouting up, that she's mean and like a bad boss and tough on people. Eric said she should lean into that instead of trying to back away and being afraid of being labeled like that. Just go for it. And because that will get a good response from people, with especially running against Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think the problem with that is she's not that. I mean, she's like, I don't know. She's like affable and she's friendly. Like, if you watched last night, she'd like line up these little zingers right at the end. You know, she dropped a bunch of fun little lines. And you could see Elizabeth Warren sort of chuckle. And other people, you know, I think she's not as mean interpersonally as she is with her staff and her the people who work for her. And I know people that are like that. I'm not her psychologist or anything, but I don't know that she actually has the temperament to sort of be the fighter, person that's just going to be a rock'em sock'em robot out there. On the mean front, but maybe Eric's right. Maybe she's got to sort of be that way, because she tries to be winsome, funny, and tough, but not mean. You know.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't work for her, because apparently the reputation is, you know. Yes. I don't want to get yelled at. So I don't yelled at by anybody.
Well, let's take a break, and while we do that, I want to pose a question for everyone. Who do you think that Donald Trump fears running against the most? Just on a political level, who is Trump afraid of in this? Give us a call at 952-946-6205, and we'll be right back here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Mark from Friendly, and you're listening to the Rockin' Tower of Power Hour with Doug, with Hunter, and with Brett.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Burger Mo's gorgeous patio is open for the season. Enjoy nightly happy hours, more than 60 beers on tap, and the weather while you watch your favorite game on the outdoor screen. And don't miss live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Offering 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the most informative source for progressive politics and news in the Twin Cities. Get involved online at am950radio.com, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, check out the local businesses that help make this content available, and stay up to date on the latest news and upcoming events. You can always reach us by email at comment at am950radio.com. That's comment at am950radio.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Don't be surprised if you hear your name when you walk into St. Paul Corner Drug. Our experienced staff make getting to know you their top priority. Developing a trusting relationship with our patients is the first step in providing personalized care that achieves the best outcomes possible. Make certain all your providers know who you are and what your needs are. It is a vital step in your well-being. Stop by St. Paul Corner Drug today to start a relationship with a staff that cares. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas, Brett Johnson, Doug Padgett, all here today for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And we've been talking about the Democratic debate that occurred last night. And
no, I have my ticket for the
another one DNC, going on
fundraiser or the event upstairs.
Okay, yeah. Doug's not talking to us. Okay. I didn't know if he was interjecting something
taking
important.
Off again because of my. I'm on a radio interview. Sorry.
Okay.
There we go. I thought he was talking to us for a second.
Yeah, so did I. But we've been talking about the debate. Outside. Okay, Doug, quiet down for a second. And I posed the question, who does Donald Trump fear running against the most of this large field of candidates? Give us a call at 952-946-6205. Again, 952-946-6205. Who does Trump fear? Which of these 25 Democrats does Trump not want to run against? Well, let's go to someone who knows a thing or two about Donald Trump.
One of Doug's favorites, too.
Mm-hmm. Randy in Coon Rapids. Randy, what do you think about this?
Hey, Hunter, you know, I don't think Donald Trump's worried about running against any of them. I think he's, and from what I have seen of him, I really think he's looking forward to running against them. I think he likes that because it puts him in, you know, on the debates and on TV and in front of everyone. And I think Donald Trump is the type of person that anytime he can get in front of people, that's where he wants to be. So I think he's looking forward to it. I mean, I didn't watch him last night. I'm kind of like everyone else. I'd want to wait till they weed it down a little bit more. And it's so hard. It isn't fair to any one of those candidates. And I don't know how they could do it to make it fair. But how do you introduce yourself to America and say, this is who I am, this is what I want to do, in 6 or 7 minutes? I don't think that's a great format, but then again, what would be a good format? You know, most of the people, it's funny, when I listen to 9:50 a.m., I hear a lot of negative things about Donald Trump. When I listen to the news, I hear negative things about Donald Trump. Whenever I talk to people, just random people, I'm always talking to people, I just hear how much people are very happy with Donald Trump. They're very happy with the economy and very happy with what he's doing. And they're looking forward to, you know, 4 more years of him.
All right, Randy, that was a nice try at a good call, but I'm sorry, you fired. I have not had those same sentiments.
I mean, I've spoken to a few Trump supporters, but the majority of people I talk to are not happy with him at all. I don't know about you guys, Doug and Hunter.
I've met a lot of people who are kind of ashamed that they voted for him or still support him. Like, they're just typically Republican voters, but they have shame and guilt for voting for him or potentially still supporting him. Doug, any thoughts on?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I get the same feedback. There are some people, I think people who voted for him are still hanging tight because they don't like to feel like, you know, they're sticking with their horse. I kind of get that, right? I think that could shake some other time. But those who didn't vote for him, were, hey guys, hang on a second.
Yeah. I mean, those Republicans, they're coming in strong. And let's remind you that we did the same in 2016, and we thought we had a unlosable election, a 99% likely chance Hillary Clinton would win. But I'm just saying that that was the...
the narrative, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And that didn't turn out well for us, so... Being too confident there, Randy. Watch out.
I have another thought on that, too, when he's talking about everyone he talks to loves Trump. I do talk to some people who would say they would probably vote for Trump in 2020, but it's more because they don't like Hillary Clinton or they're scared of Bernie Sanders. It's not because Donald Trump has done anything they've liked. It's that they have a bigger dislike of the other side. And mostly it's with Hillary Clinton. It's only actually one person who's scared of Bernie Sanders. Yeah, it's mostly, well, I don't want another Hillary in office.
Yeah, I know. That election, really, that was the biggest deal in it, was just how long conservatives and Republicans have been going after the Clintons specifically and Hillary Clinton and just demonizing her and how that translated and influenced just the general public, because people had a mistrust. They didn't like Hillary Clinton, and it came from just, I mean, 2 decades of just relentless pounding on her and just making her a villain. It was a lot of just kind of irrational feelings attached to her, and it's looking back at it, like, consider the 2016 debates. And I remember the Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton debates, watching those myself and being very impressed, actually, with Hillary Clinton's performance. And that was when I felt the most confident about the election. But then I had to be, like, shocked that so many Americans actually liked the performance out of Donald Trump because of their hatred of Hillary Clinton. That was just so staggering and shocking to me.
Do you guys think, this could be for either of you, Hunter or Doug, is there any candidate currently in the field for the Democrats that could elicit that same response we got to Hillary Clinton in 2016? Because that's something they don't have in this cycle, is 25 years worth of inventory built up against one person. I'm sure they could build that up fairly quickly against whoever they run against. I mean, they've tried to do that with Biden.
I'm afraid that they could turn that energy up against any woman candidate, because I do think it was particularly Hillary Clinton. But I also think there's a lot of misogyny in this country, and there's a lot of I think Elizabeth Warren could feel a shadowy version of that. Now, again, they won't have rumors of, you know, murders and state trooper gates and all that kind of stuff, but they'll come up with something, you know, that she's a socialist who wants to take your life and So I think there is a real anger toward women candidates. That's what I'm afraid of, anyway. That it's not just Hillary in particular.
That's a good just point to bring up. And then how do we go about that scenario? Like, does that mean we act in fear and not vote for potential
and
women
go with
candidates?
A safe white
is
guy?
That yeah. Is that the right thing to do, or do you try and knock down, like, break through walls and barriers and do it because it's the right thing to do? Because I always thought about that with Keith Ellison in the attorney general race, and people saying that well, there's never been a Muslim in that position, and I go, well, great. Who better to be the first than Keith Ellison? And so I don't like approaching things from fear for something hasn't happened, so we shouldn't go down that path.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they might turn that anger up, but I think what needs to happen is the country needs to respond even more more warmly to a woman candidate. And I hope it happens. I think it's crucial. I think all of us have to sort of get up. But, you know, but then also in the Democratic world, you know, Hillary was not beloved by people across the Democratic circles either. So, you know, she was trying to hold together a coalition that was pretty shaky, partly because of her history, you know, not just the rumors about her, but just her own voting history and, you know, the way that the Clinton administration was in the 90s. So there's a lot going on there. There was a lot of people with bad blood in the system.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. And we're talking a lot about how your perception is really shaped by what you know about a candidate or what you're told about it. The information you have affects how you feel about anything they say or perform. So why don't we take a look at how last night looked for someone who had no prior knowledge of any of these candidates. Wouldn't that be interesting to gauge the performance of the candidates from someone who is a Democratic voter, but really didn't know any of these people personally? It was their first introduction. We're going to speak with my mom about her feelings on last night's debate when we return on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hi, this is Paul Metza from the Wall of Power Radio Hour. You are about to hear my buddies, the Cool Cats, Hunter, Doug, and Brett, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Tune in and check those dudes out.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
You know what's cool? Summer is cool. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning also thinks it's cool, too. Well, be cool in the summer. That's why Standard is giving you $900 in savings on a ductless unit or air conditioning system now through the end of July. Just imagine having reliable cooling comfort all summer long for years to come. So contact Standard or go to standardheatingdeals.com to learn how you can save $900 on a new AC system. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian Country.
We are awake.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family-owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Hi, Matt McNeil here, and I love Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna, but I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle, which in turn makes me and many others loyal Rudy Luther customers. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 69. Friday, partly sunny with a high near 89. And Saturday, mostly sunny and hot with a high near 94.
This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Victor's 1959 Cafe. They're open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, offering traditional Cuban recipes in a relaxed, casual, and festive Cuban environment. Located at 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. Details at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
This is David the Trucker, and we're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Reparty, because that's what we do here. Celebrate all things progressive.
Mm-hmm. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson, here for today's Minnesota Progressive Repartee, and we've been talking about the first Democratic presidential debate that occurred last night. And last night, as I was processing everything that took place, I spoke with my mother and kind of shared with her. And as I listened, I realized how interesting it was to hear from someone who didn't know of any of the candidates beforehand, really. I mean, she knows who Amy Klobuchar is, and my mom is a longtime Democratic voter, so this is the exact type of person that these candidates are trying to sway and influence and get on their side. So why not speak with her and see how a fresh mind, a pure virgin to these candidates, saw the debate. So, Mom, it's good to have you on.
Hello, Hunter. It's funny you should use the word virgin because that's what I was thinking. Like, this was my maiden voyage, and, like, I feel like kind of a virgin jumping into this this mix of how many people are running.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a completely different take and fresh thoughts about what I experienced, and that was that it was a very respectful. There was almost a solidarity of candidates with universal themes.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, get Trump out. Okay, some people want him to be impeached. Some want to prosecute him legally after he's out of the office. But it was so fascinating to me to listen to each of these people, even though they had such a short amount of time. It's just this plethora of diversity and different solutions to basically the same problem. And I found individually, somebody was speaking earlier about Tulsi Gabbard, and she stood out to me as being like an excellent Secretary of State.
Mm.
She served in the military. She knows foreign policy. And somebody else was saying earlier that, you know, who knows what people's motives are running. Well, it kind of sometimes just falls into place that people fit into different roles. Castro, I was completely impressed with just his thoughts on immigration and on going to San Juan.
Yes, that was a good moment. He specifically brought up Puerto Rico in a way to draw attention that you don't hear often. And I kind of share with him your freshness of view, because I really didn't know much about Castro. I was vaguely aware of who he was. And he wasn't someone that I was really interested in paying attention to. I just kind of saw it as, this is someone I don't need to really care about or know anything about. But after last night, I was definitely interested now. I would like to hear more. I went from indifferent to curious.
Okay, then. That's really the bottom line of my experience, is that it was an eye-opener for me to hear all of these different candidates talking about, it's like, whoa, I really like what that guy's saying. I liked his idea. I love that he spoke to his people in his native language. I loved that Cory Booker, the senator of New Jersey, was passionate about inner city issues, shooting. We lived in North Minneapolis for 7 years. I witnessed a lot of homicides. It puts you in a place that other people have never been before, unless you've lived it. And Elizabeth Warren, I was familiar with her. She's such a, like, she's feisty, experienced, and unafraid to go against status quo. You would not expect from an elderly lady.
Yeah.
Not that she, these were the things that I took from the debate that just, it makes me, I think as Democrats, we have been bitching for so long about what's wrong and what needs to be fixed. And this is a really good opportunity for people to listen carefully, stay involved in the process, and really decide which candidate supports their priority in terms of, some were stressing climate change, labor reform from the Ohio, Tim Ryan.
Yeah.
He talked a lot about blue-collar values. Amy Klobuchar, our down-home girl, love her. And what I found out about her that I wasn't really aware of, is we all know she's strong and powerful. She's more moderate than I was aware of, and she emphasized that she is highly electable. So if we're looking at going into this next presidential race, all those things have to be factored in. If our goal is to get Trump out and to get the Democrats back in power, I think we can't tit for tat over, I like this about this person. And that. We got to listen carefully.
Now, for you, what were you, I know you're kind of just surveying at this time, but what would you say is the primary characteristic that eventually you'll be looking for when making a decision on who to support?
That's a really difficult question, because that kind of goes with when, my mind's kind of out there about everybody has all these different valuable characteristics and values. I would say if our goal is to get Democrats back in charge, then I would be leaning towards the most highly electable person that shares the same ideologies as I do.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Right now is the time where, surveying is appropriate to find out more. I think that's kind of a healthy way for people to approach this, is hear things out and then decide what the priorities are. Because I thought it was really useful when they were all asked towards the end of the debate what was the most pressing issue facing this country or existential threat or something along those lines. So people, they each gave a kind of one word answer, one or two topics of what threat is facing America that they feel is the biggest. And there was a lot of like climate change or Iran. It was different areas to go down. Mm-hmm. China was one that was mentioned often. But I thought that even though it was only a one-word answer, that it told a lot about them and what their priorities would be if they were elected. So you could take a lot away from that. But to get to that point, we have to be in the surveying phase where we just hear people out and kind of get a feel for them rather than being stuck on one idea and kind of making assumptions about what we know, actually. Just assuming that we have more information than we do. Eric pointed that out during our stream last night, that how often we find out just like we hear one sentence in our life and then we make a judgment based on that and discount everything about that person going forward. And that is so common nowadays. So I thought that was a good thing to be aware of for me. But I think looking at the field is a good place to start right now.
Yes, I strongly encourage it. And as we weed people out through the process, I mean, it's just an education in general about really the problems in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are, that's democracy, is different people sharing common values, but yet different priorities and thoughts on how we can do the best for the country. Like, I love the climate change is huge for me, and it's so strongly overlooked. And so it was refreshing for me to see or hear, you know, there's somebody out there fighting for that as their top priority. That's going to happen whether they become a president or not. That's their life. Like Paul Douglas, I mean, it's their passion and their concern about positive change.
Yeah, that's a good thing to bring up, actually. And that's my main concern with anyone, is when I feel that their motives are self-serving, that the reason that they're pursuing politics and this, pursuing the presidency, is that they want it for themselves rather than being driven by something where it's not even a choice to them whether they run or not, because they have to, because they care so deeply about something. So that's huge for me. But we're running out of time here, but just quick, who were a couple of the candidates last night that you feel were most electable against Donald Trump?
Most electable?
Mm-hmm.
Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren.
Mm. Two women. Interesting. All right, Mom. Well, thanks for joining us. That was very, very valuable feedback. I'm glad you had that fresh lens to look at this.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for the airtime. Well, I'll see you tonight.
All right. All right. All right. We'll be right back here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Give us a call with your thoughts on the debate, 952-946-6205. But we'll be right back.
This is Jennifer Ogren, account executive at AM 950, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee?
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style every Sunday at 5 p.m. You know, on the radio program, I often say that life is the big stuff, but living is in the details. The furniture in your home may be details, but that's where you do the living. So why not speak to one of Habitation's design professionals about making your space the best it can be? Habitation, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about the joy of live fire cooking. Cooking over a live fire is the oldest and most basic form of cooking.
What's new is in the way fire is handled and its heat is managed.
It's easier to experience and enjoy the smell and taste of food cooked over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs live fire grills, fire pits, and ovens. Let us help you experience the smell, the taste, the fun of cooking with fire.
Pizza was first made and is still best made in an open fire oven. The radiant and conductive heat of a live fire is unmatched for wood roasting and baking artisan breads too.
Come see the many ways you can cook over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Eat fresh and support local farmers this summer by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. The market has the best selection of fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meats, and farmstead goods. It's not too late to pick up plants and flowers. Also, fresh at the market is asparagus, rhubarb, and green onions. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations Tuesdays at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
This is Gary of Minneapolis on their Minnesota's Progressive Rapporteur. I got a question for you Trumpsters, or Trumpeteers, whatever you want to call yourselves. There's a billionaire that grabbed everything in the country and caused so much suffering and poverty. Why do you put him in power, a billionaire and a bunch of his cronies? You must be a bunch of masochists.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson here for today's Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And you just heard from a rapporteur of ours, Gary from Minneapolis. Gary is a big fan and regular caller, and you hear him on the bumpers because he left a voicemail here with all that information. So if you want to be a part of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, feel free to call 952-946-6205 after we're done with the show today or any other day. Leave a voicemail and maybe we'll make it a bumper as well. But we've got another regular on the line, Mark and Fridley. Mark, what are your thoughts from last night?
Hey guys, I hope my thoughts on last night's going to start with what's happening tonight. By far, both party affiliations, by far, the biggest concern of the American people is the economy. Okay, so we don't need to talk about guns at this point. We don't need to talk about, you know, even the immigration component, but we need to talk about economy and foreign policy. And I'd like to get into Tulsi Gabbard with that and segue into how Amy Klobuchar finished. But I just want to give a shout-out to Randy. Randy, you must be spending too much time in Trump Heights, which is actually a newly formed commercial and residential real estate complex built on the Golan Heights. because when Trump announced last week, he said Democrats want to destroy you and your in our country. He wants to strip you of your constitutional rights. Radical Democratic opponents are driven by hatred and use this power to shut down opponents. Now, those are vile, vitriolic, hateful, spiteful words coming from the President of the United States. I don't think. Do you really think that Trump thinks Democrats want to destroy you and your country and strip everybody of constitutional rights? Because both parties have been doing a pretty good job at that. But the winner, if you look at the data, was Tulsi Gabbard. And how that happened was they were looking at this electronically and found out that today, after the debate, Tulsi Gabbard is one of the most, if not the most, searched words name on the Internet. And so people that don't know her and, you know, got a chance to see her, she said the most powerful political statement made probably in the past 10 years last night, and I'll get to that. But I advised Bernie Sanders in 2016 that he should nominate her, announce her, as a vice presidential candidate. She would also, if she isn't allowed to get the run because CNN and MSNBC want to control the polls, she would also make a really good Secretary of State for this country because of her foreign policy issues. And, you know, she got, of all of the candidates, she got the third least amount of face time. So they didn't spend any time talking to her. But we need to talk about the economy and we need to talk about foreign policy. And last night, she went after this Ohio Tim Ryan.
Yeah.
And she stood toe to toe with
him. Right.
And, you know, so she's composed. She's authentic. She's honest. You know, and what she said in the close was the most prolific thing. And it's going to be ignored as much as the time that, and anybody can search this, but during the George Stephanopoulos interview on ABC 2 weeks ago.
Quick, Mark, we're almost out of time.
Yeah, this is the quote that Trump gave. He said, he told George Stephanopoulos, Iraq did not knock down the World Trade Center. It were other people. And I think I know who the other people were. And you might also. And last night, Tulsi Gabbard said on national television, you know who is protecting Al-Qaeda right now? It's Saudi Arabia.
Ah, well, thank you for the call, Mark. She is a candidate that I want to deep dive into on this show. I was hoping to schedule a conversation about her in the near future, so maybe we'll have that happen. But that's all the time for today. We'll see you tomorrow on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.